Investigators now have both recorders from Air France Flight 447. The soonest Endeavour could launch is now May 10th. And Southwest closes on its acquisition of AirTran. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, May 4th, 2011. The French agency charged with investigating aviation accidents recovered the cockpit voice recorder from Air France Flight 447 Monday. That's that plane that went down in the Atlantic Ocean on a flight from Rio to Paris on June 1st of 2009. They also got the data module for the flight data recorder after earlier finding the chassis but not the memory module. Both recoveries happened on Monday. It's still not known if the data contained in either unit will be usable after spending nearly 2 years under nearly 13,000 feet of water. Officials hope both recordings will provide insight into the cause of the accident, which killed all 228 people on board. A reality TV show on the campus of Indiana University of Pennsylvania got a little too real on Saturday when a Robinson R-44 being used by the video crew came down between apartment buildings on the campus. The four on board, all identified as Canadian citizens, were involved in production of a show called Campus PD. The Associated Press cites the FAA in reporting one of those injured was in critical condition. Two others were listed as serious. The pilot was among those injured. The fourth person on board reportedly walked away. University spokesperson Michelle Freiling made it clear the show is not affiliated with the university. A Beach 18 on a cargo flight went down in a residential neighborhood near the Opa-locka Airport in Florida Monday morning. The pilot reportedly was fatally injured. There were no other injuries reported. Media sources indicate the accident happened about 8:15 a.m. Eastern. Miami-Dade Fire and Rescue Chief Jose Herrera told WSVN-TV in Miami the plane was likely on its way to the Bahamas at the time of the accident. The plane reportedly hit two cars and a house and was completely destroyed. NASA Space Shuttle and International Space Station managers met Monday and determined that Tuesday, May 10th, is now the earliest Endeavour could be launched on mission STS-134. That date is based on preliminary schedules to replace a faulty load control assembly box in the orbiter's aft compartment. Plans are for managers to reconvene Friday to determine a more definite launch date after the box is removed and replaced and the retest of systems has been completed. Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly has commented on the significance of the closing of Southwest's acquisition of AirTran, which was announced on Monday. Quote, "The successful closing of this transaction is a significant accomplishment and marks a great day in the history of Southwest Airlines. Our first order of business is to welcome our new friends from AirTran to the family in a truly Southwest Airlines way. The acquisition of AirTran represents a unique opportunity to extend our network into key markets we don't yet serve, such as Atlanta and Washington, D.C., via Ronald Reagan National Airport. It gives us the opportunity to serve more than 100 million customers annually from more than 100 different airports and expand the well-known Southwest effect to hundreds of additional low-fare itineraries for the traveling public," unquote. Kelly also expressed confidence after getting the deal done as fuel prices rise. Quote, "Southwest not only brings profitability and financial strength to make this deal feasible, but it also positions the combined companies with an industry-leading investment-grade balance sheet to weather the energy price storm. In addition, it currently positions Southwest to offer improved job security, compensation, and benefits to AirTran crew members who join the Southwest family," unquote. Bob Jordan, Southwest's executive VP of strategy and planning, is now president of AirTran. Bob Fornaro, who has served as chairman, president, and CEO at AirTran, becomes a full-time consultant for the integration of the two airlines. Southwest's headquarters will remain in Dallas, with plans for AirTran's operations and presence in both Orlando and Atlanta still under review. Additional announcements during the integration will be made as plans unfold. The U.S. Department of Justice cleared the merger, but the FAA has not yet issued a single operating certificate. Still ahead, airlines form alliances, but what about jet manufacturers? The Omasud Skycar is approved by the FAA, and the search for extraterrestrial intelligence suffers a setback. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, May 4th. I'm Paul Platt. EADS Executive Chairman Luis Galois has told the Spanish newspaper Expansión that the world's six major airliner manufacturers will likely have to form alliances in the future as the demand for new airplanes subsides. He predicts that Boeing, Airbus, China's COMAC, Embraer, Bombardier, and Russia's UAC will need to work together to be competitive in the marketplace. As ANN reported, Bombardier and COMAC have signed such an agreement, they did that in March, to evaluate potential commonalities between China's C919 and Bombardier's C-Series aircraft. AFP reports that Galois said the potential collaborations between not only the aircraft manufacturers, but also the companies which supply them are, quote, a good step. There are too many of them, and an alliance would strengthen them in an increasingly competitive world, unquote. There's been no official comment from Boeing on that idea. The Omasud Skycar, which was introduced to the U.S. market last year at AirVenture, has received certification from the FAA, according to an email from CEO Walter Proietti. He adds U.S. buyers can take advantage of assistance from the Italian Insurance Credit Export Company. Quote, we can also offer a 3 to 5 years financing option for the payment, together with leasing opportunities, unquote. Proietti adds the company is completing the development of a special surveyor version for maritime patrol, border control, aerial surveillance, environment monitoring, and more. The Italian-designed and built Omasud Skycar offers front doors large and wide to allow easy access to the cabin, and a twin boom tail to accommodate a large rear access door. The twin pusher has 5 seats in the air taxi configuration and can be reconfigured for cargo and for medical missions. A stretcher can slide in through the large rear door. The company has plans to build the plane in Italy, ship it to the U.S. in cargo containers, then assemble and deliver it to customers. A jury in Kansas has awarded $48 million to the families of 5 of the 6 people fatally injured when a DH-6 twin otter carrying skydivers suffered a catastrophic engine failure just after takeoff and went down near Sullivan Airport in rural Missouri, southwest of St. Louis. The family of one of those killed in the accident did not participate in the lawsuit. The Union, Missouri jury ordered the UK-based company Doncasters to pay $4 million to each family, along with an additional $28 million in punitive damages to be divided among the families, according to a report in the Kansas City Star. The right engine of the aircraft failed on July 29, 2006, just after takeoff. The plane narrowly missed a house when it went down. No one on the ground was injured. The plane was being operated by Quantum Leap Skydiving of Sullivan, Missouri. Gary Robb, the attorney who represented the families, said court testimony revealed that Doncasters used an engine part made from an alloy not approved by the manufacturer, Pratt & Whitney Canada, which was possibly responsible for as many as 8 other engine failures. SETI, S-E-T-I, is an acronym which stands for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. The SETI Institute was founded in 1984 with a mission to explore, understand, and explain the origin, nature, and prevalence of life in the universe. One of its primary tools has been the Allen Telescope Array, located at the Hat Creek Radio Observatory in California. Now, the budget crisis in the state and a cut of 90% of the federal portion of the project's funding has forced a shutdown of the array. The Institute is looking for $5 million in private funding from individuals and organizations to restart the project. In an April 22nd email message to stakeholders, CEO Tom Pearson stresses that the SETI Institute, quote, remains a robust and viable research organization, unquote. The Institute's website says it currently employs over 150 scientists, educators, and support staff. And finally today, ANN has learned that Violet Cowden, who served as a WASP in the Army Air Forces in 1943 and 1944, passed away in Newport Beach, California, April 10th at the age of 94. Vi was a school teacher in Spearfish, South Dakota, with no driver's license, who rode her bicycle 12 miles round trip to the local airfield to take flying lessons in 1936. As a licensed pilot, she attempted to join the Civil Air Patrol following Pearl Harbor, but got no reply. She joined the Navy instead, then was accepted into the Women's Flying Training Detachment, which later became the WASPs, one of 1,830 women accepted of the 25,000 who applied. She reported for training at Avenger Field in Sweetwater, Texas. Vi went on to log hundreds of hours ferrying military aircraft, including the P-51 Mustang, which she called the love of my life. She flew in all kinds of weather, and sometimes landed at night on runways with no lights. The WASPs were disbanded in December of 1944. Vi went to work for TWA as a ticket agent, but she said it was too painful to be that close to the cockpit and not be allowed to fly. She soon resigned, got married, and her pilot's license lapsed. But she occasionally got in some informal stick time, including some as recently as last year. Violet was the subject of the documentary Wings of Silver, The Vi Cowden Story, which was released last year. Her husband, Scott Cowden, passed away in 2009. They'd been married since 1955. Vi lived long enough to see President Jimmy Carter recognize the civilian WASPs as veterans, eligible for limited military benefits in 1977. She was also among about 200 WASPs who were honored by President Barack Obama with a Congressional Gold Medal last year. Vi, thank you for your service to our country. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's the second and concluding segment of Jim Campbell's interview with Kirk Fryer of Sarasota Avionics International from AEA 2011. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPod or Podcast Alley or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.